Ephesians chapter 6, we'll be looking at verse 14. One verse this morning. That means you're going to get out early, right? Probably not. It's a powerful verse. And before I get to that serious stuff, I was singing that song, and I like to know what I'm singing. Do you? What in the world does it mean when it says, I love thy rocks and reels? What is a reel? Anybody know? No, it's not a rod and reel, Lucas. Good try. Good try. What is a reel? We love them. Julie's Googling it. I mean, I know it wasn't a print mistake because my wife doesn't make mistakes. So I thought, what is a reel? I just said I loved it.
A small stream.
It's a small stream. A reel is a... How many knew that? Anybody? John Henderson in the very back balcony said he knew about it. All right. And Marty, you knew? Okay. So if you don't learn a thing about the sermon this morning, you know what a reel is. It's a small stream and you love them, right? Okay. Last week we started talking about spiritual warfare. And last week we talked about what Paul said that we needed to do. We needed to be strong in the Lord. You should never, ever think that you can go into warfare with Satan and win on your own. And so he said in verse 10, be strong in the Lord. And then he talked about put on God's armor. It was a command that we were to put on God's armor. And then he said, stand firm, be committed. That is how you defeat Satan. That's how you win the battle. And so this morning and for several weeks, we're going to look at the armor that you put on. And this is so incredibly important. Realize that Paul had unfortunately spent a lot of time with Roman soldiers because he was always getting in trouble and getting arrested. And so he was very familiar with the armor that they wore during that time. And he's going to talk about putting it on. And he's using it metaphorically because we're going into battle. As soon as you leave this place, maybe even here this morning, you're involved in spiritual battle. And I might say that we in America are losing the battle against Satan. We're losing desperately. And I believe one of the reasons is that we're not putting on the armor. And let's look at verse 14. And it says, stand your ground. That's a military term. It means don't retreat. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. That's all we're going to look at this morning. Those two pieces of armor. And we're going to look at what they mean and how important they are for you and I to have victory in our Christian life, because that is ultimately what we want to have, is victory. But we first have to believe there's a reason to get dressed, to put on armor. And we have to believe that there is a spiritual war going on. And so I have there for you 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. Listen to what it says. Paul writes, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. Humans shoot each other. Humans blow each other up. We don't do physical war like humans do. But look what he says. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We were in a different kind of warfare. Our warfare is against ideas. Our warfare is against philosophies. And we cannot win the battle using our own strength and our own abilities. We have to understand God provides mighty weapons to give us victory. He goes on to say, we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. So what I want us to understand this morning, that the battle we fight at work, the battle we fight at home, the battle we fight in our community is not flesh and blood. It's up here. It's spiritual. And so therefore, if we're going to win, which I would never go to battle with the desire to get killed, would you? If we're going to win, we have to put on the armor. Now, I started thinking, why in the world do we as Christians not put on the armor? Why do we insist on defeat? Now, these are just my simple thoughts. Number one, I think most believers don't believe there's a war. If you don't think there's a war, you're not going to get dressed for battle, correct? And I believe the biggest danger that the church faces, that individual Christians face, is they don't think there's a war going on. They think that there's a battle out there, but it's not their battle. And the truth is, the Scripture says we're involved in a war. And we're the object of attack. Satan wants to ruin our witness. He wants to destroy our influence. So we're in a battle. But I think we don't get up and go, oh, we got a war going on today. I don't think we get up and go, oh, we got to go face battle today. I just don't think you wake up when you get up in the morning and say, hey, there's war today. You think, hey, I got to go to work. Hey, I got to do this. I've got to do that. But the truth is, when you get up and you step outside your door, maybe even in your own house, you're at war. Here's another reason I think that we do not get dressed for battle. We're just flat lazy. Takes a little effort to get dressed, right? When we had all this isolation, the real temptation was to stay in the same clothes all day long, get up the next day and start over. Thank goodness we're getting out a little bit. We have to take showers, you know. But we get lazy. We think, well, it's too much trouble to put on the belt of truth. And we'll talk about that in a second. I think those are the two biggest dangers in spiritual warfare. One, we don't believe there's a war. Number two, we're just lazy. Just flat lazy. So what in the world does it mean to get dressed for battle? What does it mean when it says in verse 14 that we're to put on the belt of truth? Stand therefore having fastened on the belt of truth. Now I'm going to tell you something. I don't have a pretty belt on, but I always wear a belt. The reason I wear a belt, there's only one reason I wear a belt. You know what that reason is? I don't know if I can say this on the air. I don't have a rear. I could literally, if I did not have this belt on right now, pull my pants down without unbuckling. I don't have a rear. So I have a belt for one purpose, and that is to keep my pants up. Now, we need to understand that the Roman soldier, wore a tunic, and it was basically a big square that had a hole for your head and two holes for your arm. It looked like a dress, but you wouldn't dare call a Roman soldier a sissy or wearing a dress. That was common every day, and I think they were usually red. So you'd put your tunic on, or I guess you had it on all the time. But when you went outside the door of your house or your military compound, you would put on the belt. They had a special leather belt, approximately 6 inches wide. I went and got a ruler to find out, that's a big belt. And you would put this belt on around your waist, and it served several purposes. Number one, it served the purpose, if you needed to go into battle, you needed to be quick, right? You needed to be agile. Well, what they would do is they would tuck that tunic up so it looked like a miniskirt, basically. And I'm strange, I know. I Googled. They wore underwear back then. I was just thinking, do you wear anything underneath that dress? I don't know. You know, you pull it up, that doesn't sound very safe. Some of y'all are getting embarrassed by that. But that's, don't you ever think and wonder? So they would get that belt and they would pull that tunic up so they could run and move, because it would be very dangerous if you did do that. You could trip. Someone could grab your dress, you know. There's all kinds of reasons to have this belt. But the primary reason was that when you put the belt on and when you girded it, that's the word the King James uses, you were ready for what? Battle. Now, if you were just walking around town, you wouldn't gird it. You'd have it on. But the belt was meant to give you an advantage, because most of the battle back then was hand-to-hand combat, and speed was important, and you as a soldier would know that you needed to be ready. Now, it also was used where you could put your knife, and there's a word we'll talk about, on the side. There was a scabbard, is that what it's called? You could, you know, that is a weapon. We'll talk about the weapons later on. But also, you had this body armor, or this breastplate of righteousness, and it would, a lot of times, rest on the belt. So it kind of gave you some support. But the belt was incredibly important. I was asking Greg, because you know I'm not very good with guns. I could tell you story after story about my gun experiences, and one last week, but I won't share it tonight, today. But I was asking Greg how important it is to a game warden to have a belt, their belt. And I wished I would have had Greg bring it, but I didn't know if that'd be a breaking code of the, you know, warfare. I didn't know. He said, well, Bill, it's real important. You got all your ammo on it. You've got communication. You've got weapons, right? You got handcuffs. You would never go to battle without a belt on, right? And yet, as a Christian, we think belts are to keep our pants from falling down or to make a fashion statement. But that's not what Paul's talking about. He's talking about putting on the belt of truth. The interesting thing, we were told to do this in verse 11, to put on the full armor of God. You're not supposed to pick and choose what you wear and don't wear to battle. It's actually in the aorist tense. That means the first three things that you put on, you're supposed to put on and leave on. It's aorist tense. It begins, but it doesn't. You don't take it off. And here we find that Paul is saying you've got to put on this belt of truth. It is so vitally important. And I started thinking about it. This is the reason. If you want to know why many of us in the days to come will mess up our life, will make huge mistakes, it's this reason here. We don't put on the belt of truth. I've never thought of the belt as being an important thing, but as I studied this scripture, I discovered that maybe the most important thing you put on in spiritual warfare is this thing called the belt of truth. And why? Because the belt of truth is talking about scripture, and scripture is what teaches us is true. It teaches us the truth about God. It teaches us the truth about Satan. So when he talks about putting on the belt of truth, he's talking about putting God's word on, putting it in your heart, and putting it in your mind. As a good verse that shows that is John 17:17. It says, make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. One of the reasons we're losing the battle today as individual Christians is because we no longer put on truth. We no longer put on God's truth into our heart. But it wasn't just that. It wasn't just putting information in your head. To put on the belt of truth meant that you lived it. You didn't just know it. You lived it. It's the opposite of hypocrisy. You put on the belt of truth. That means you know what is true, because you can't win the battle if you don't know truth. And I'm not talking about the truth of the world. I'm talking about the truth of the Scripture. And you can't win the battle unless you live the truth. And so the belt of truth for a teenager, for a kid, for an adult, may be the most important thing that you put on. Because in our culture right now, there's this little saying, you may have heard it, where people would say, live your own truth. Live your truth. That's not a good saying. You know why? It's saying you live however you want to live because you determine what is true. I would never tell you to live your truth. Your truth is messed up like my truth is messed up. Why? Because I sin. So live your truth means live your way. Live God's way means to put on the truth. You see, putting on the belt of truth means that you are ready to face the world. You're not ready for today if you don't know truth. You're not ready for dating. You're not ready for marriage. You're not ready for anything if you don't know truth. Why? Because you're going to make all kinds of mistakes if you don't know truth. You've got to put on the belt of truth. When you get up in the morning and you leave to go to work or you're in the house, the first thing in your mind you need to think about is putting on truth. How am I going to live today according to God's Word? If you don't do that, you're going to get out there and the danger is you're going to live your own truth, which is a disaster. I hear people say all the time, well, I don't believe that. Well, it doesn't matter what you believe. Truth is truth. And so to put on the belt of truth means you're ready to go out in the world because you know what's right and you know what's wrong. Well, there's a second thing we need to understand with that. Scripture teaches us what truth is. Don't live your own truth. Go to Scripture. Now, let me give you two thoughts. There's this thing called absolute truth. I looked up the definition, and here's the definition of absolute truth. Absolute truth is something that is true at all times and in all places. It is something that is always true no matter the circumstances. An example, there are no round circles, correct? That's an absolute truth. There are no round circles. Now, back when I was a student pastor many years ago, there was a guy named Josh McDowell, and he was warning back then about absolute truth being eroded away with. That the world was, and I didn't really understand it because I was young and dumb at the time, but I'm now 61 and I understand what he's talking about. Because our world does not recognize absolute truth. What they recognize is a thing called truth relativism. What is that? It simply means there's no absolute truth. There's no right or wrong.
Is that true?
Huh?
Is that true?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Oh, that would know. Sam being funny over here, but that is. But I want you to think about this. Relativism means each one of you determine what is right and what is wrong. You want to know what is wrong with our country right now? That. There's no right and wrong. Couples will say, well, we're going to live together. Why not get married? Well, we just don't believe that. Are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. That's not absolutely true. Christians, there's a right and the wrong. And where do you find it? You find it in Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching. Scripture teaches us about God, Satan, the world, all that stuff. That's where truth comes from. He says, it is also profitable for reproof. Where it says, Bill, that's wrong. That's reproof. What happened to there being right and wrong? Sometimes We all do things that are wrong. And God's Word, I promise you, will tell you that's wrong. If you open it up and if you believe it. He says it also is for correction. How you put your life back together. And then he says also for training in righteousness. And then he gives you the reason. So that. Anytime in the Scripture you see so that, pay attention. So that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. You have to, as a believer, put on the belt of truth. And the belt of truth will allow you to be equipped to do good work. But you got to have truth. And the lack of absolute truth in the church. And when I say in the church, I'm looking at you. Because you are the church. The lack of absolute church, absolute truth in the church is killing the church. There's no right or wrong. And the only way to get truth, if you look at the book of Proverbs, is to seek it. You have to look at the Scripture over and over and over again. The Scripture talks about seeking the truth. But the other practical side of that, now listen to me, is not only knowing absolute truth, but living it. Not living a life of hypocrisy. It's living truth, not just knowing truth. And when we have Jesus living in our lives, we have the ability to live truth. Why? Because Jesus said, I'm the way, the life, and the truth. You put Jesus in the center of your life, you're going to live truth. If you have Him outside your life, you'll live how you want. I was reading, and I'd heard this a long time ago. Gandhi. Everybody heard of Gandhi? He's known for saying several famous quotes about Christianity. One of them, Gandhi said, I like your Christ, but not your Christianity. Interesting. And so I dug a little more into it, and I found out that there was a time when Gandhi was exploring Jesus Christ and reading the Scripture and wanting to know more about Him. And he was intrigued by Jesus, and so in Calcutta, where he was at the time, he decided to go to a church in Calcutta. And he went to the church in Calcutta, India, and he was met at the door by the ushers. And the ushers would not let him in. And the reason, there were two reasons he didn't get to go in. First of all, he was not able to go in because he was not of the high caste Indians. You know, they have a caste system. And the other reason was he wasn't white. This church allowed high caste Indians and white Americans to come to church there. If you weren't in those two categories, he turns you away. And they turned him away. Hence these words. He said this, I'd be a Christian if it were not for you Christians. Woo! I'd be a Christian if it wasn't for you Christians. Their lifestyle of non-truth affected a man who wanted the truth. That's why it's so vitally important that we just don't talk about knowing the Bible. I really don't care how much of the Bible you know as much as I care if you live it. Two different things. If you know a bunch of it and you don't live it, something's wrong. And so we need to understand here that when we look at this first thing, we don't need to go into the world until we have an understanding of absolute truth that comes from the Scripture, that we try to live the truth, that we are ready for action. That's why it is so important to put on the belt of truth. And that's the very first thing he said to put on. I never in my entire ministry thought the belt was important. Now I think it's the most important thing. But then he talks about the second thing to put on. And again, these first three you put on and you don't take off. Why? Because you're in battle all the time. We're told to put on the breastplate of righteousness. It says, it calls it body armor, same thing. in the New Living Translation, you don't go to battle without putting on the body armor. And the Romans would have this breastplate, this body armor, and it was sometimes made out of thick leather covered with bronze or chainmail. It was to prevent you think about your chest, you got your heart, you got your stomach, you got your liver, you got your kidneys, all your many of your vital organs are in this area, right? And so when you went to battle, you had this thick leather, metal, whatever, because they weren't always the same. Its main purpose was to protect your innards. And you would never, never, never go to battle without putting it on, because in hand-to-hand combat, all they got to do is get you in the gut, and you're done. So he says, put on the body armor, put on the breastplate of righteousness. I asked Greg, I said, are officers supposed to have body armor on? Yes, front and back. Why? Because sometimes people come from behind. You think Satan's always going to face you up to your eyes? No. Sometimes he'll be behind you. But the body armor is so incredibly important if you're going to win the battle. And this is beautiful what it's talking about here, because he's talking about the breastplate of righteousness. And it means a couple of things. And you will not be successful in Christian battle until you have this righteousness thing figured out. So here's what it means. First of all, as believers, we need to have an understanding that our righteousness comes from Jesus alone. Romans 3:22, listen to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus for all who believe. You see, as believers, I believe that I'm justified before God because of Jesus Christ. Not what I did, but what He did on the cross for me. I am justified because He lived for me and He died for me and He took my place. I cannot do it in my own strength. I can't save myself. I can only put my faith in Him who is righteous, and His righteousness makes me righteous. And so he talks about not being saved by works. He's talking about the theological word justification. You're justified because of Jesus. And if you go out into the world, if you go out into battle and you don't understand that, you know what you're going to live in? Continual guilt and shame. Why? Because you think you blew it? You did blow it. And so this righteousness is not your righteousness. It's one that He gives you at salvation. But there's another side to that righteousness. It's a practical righteousness, which means if I'm in a right relationship with Him, then it will be my desire to be righteous in the way I live my life. And that's a theological term called sanctification. Justification is what He does for me and saves me. Sanctification is how I respond to my salvation. And so, as a believer in Jesus Christ, I'm to get up and to go into the world understanding that He died for me, that He loved me, and that He saved me, that it's not me who does it. And I want to live for Him because of what He did for me. Ephesians 2:10 gives you a beautiful picture of sanctification. He says this, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." We're created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You get saved to live for Him. You don't get saved by what you do for Him, but you get saved to live for Him. That's why we're to be different. Now, we also got to understand that He died for us, and it's a free gift. And so you've always got to keep those two balanced, and it's very hard to do sometimes. As a matter of fact, James talked about it. James talked about in James chapter 2, verse 22 and 26, about how authentic faith always leads to authentic works. This is what he says. You see, his faith and his actions work together. His actions made his faith complete. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. In other words, they go hand in hand. Justification and sanctification are married. You're not saved by what you do, but you're saved to do what Christ wants you to do. That's such a difficult thing for us to put into our minds, but it's the truth. Why is that important? Why is that important to the believer in Jesus Christ to put on the breastplate of righteousness, to know that you didn't save yourself, and to know that you're saved to do good works? Why is that important? Here's the reason. You have an enemy, and his name is Satan. And one of the darts, one of the arrows he wants to shoot into your heart is doubt about your salvation, doubt about your spiritual life. He wants you to doubt and think that you've already blown it. Listen to Revelation 12, verse 10. It says, "For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night." You see, Satan is constantly trying to get you to think you messed up too much in the past. You were too sorry in the past. You should have known better as a Christian. And then Jesus is over here saying, "Hey, that's all covered under the blood. I died for you. I took your place because you are sorry." So Satan's going to win the battle with you if you constantly doubt whether you've been good enough. And the truth is, you haven't been good enough. And that's the good news. He was better than you could be. And yet Satan wants you to doubt your salvation. He wants you to think you've been too bad. He wants you to think that you can't do any good. So wearing the breastplate of righteousness helps us in at least two ways in battle. It keeps us from doubting our salvation, number one. When you understand the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you don't doubt your salvation. You don't think my past is too bad. You live in the beauty. You live in the realization that Christ died for you because of your past. Romans 8:1. "So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus." That allows you to go to battle. It allows you to know that your past doesn't define you. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it." So when you put on the breastplate of righteousness, what it does, it makes Satan ineffective at getting you to doubt your salvation. And if you're doubting your salvation, you're not going to serve God. Or trying to earn your salvation. Those are all terrible ways to live. So put on the breastplate of righteousness. And then the second thing is that when you put on the breastplate of righteousness, get this, you live right. You were saved to live right. Not saved to go to heaven and miss hell. You were saved to live right. You're not to live the hypocritical life. Holy living makes a difference. And that sounds so spiritual. What is holy living? It means living a life dedicated to God. It makes a difference how we live. Because when you leave today, First Baptist Mount Ida leaves. And those people in the community will see you and determine what they think about Jesus and First Baptist Mount Ida. So when you put on the breastplate of righteousness, what you're saying is, I'm going to live for Him. Not to be saved, but because I am saved. So the breastplate of righteousness is so incredibly important, because people drop out and they think, I'm not good enough. It's too late. I've blown it. While the righteousness says, yeah, you blew it. That's why I died. So the breastplate's important. The belt is important. And you're to put it on and not take it off. You're never ever to take off the fact that you were saved by grace. You're never ever to take off the fact that He died for you. You're to always rest in that. So my question for you is, are you dressed when you go to work, when you go out to the world? If not, you're going to get slaughtered. I'm going to get slaughtered because it makes all the difference. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for these two important weapons. I don't even know if they're weapons, but battle gear. I thank You that we can know truth and we can live it. I thank You, Lord, that Your righteousness is so much better than my righteousness. And Father, I thank You that if I put on those two things, I've got a chance in battle. Help us as the church to be the church that lives it, not just talk about it. I ask this in Jesus' name.